You need to be set on fire for the Lord. How many of you have ever heard that before? How many of you are glad they weren't being literal? You know, it's one thing to be set on fire. It's another thing to be set on fire. And so I've heard preachers use that language before. You need to be set on fire for the Lord. Or they'll ask you questions like, has your fire gone out? Anybody ever had that question? Why don't you turn your neighbor right now and just try that one on them and see what they say. Ask them the question, has your fire gone out? Has your fire gone out? I mean, that was something we talked quite a bit about when I was growing up. I've actually seen ministers, evangelists especially, give altar calls to get your fire rekindled. How many of you have ever been to one of those altar calls? You come to an altar call because you need your fire rekindled. And they use language like that to refer to something that we would really know more as the zeal of the Holy Ghost. So when you talk about a fire inside of you, obviously you're not talking about a literal fire, but you're talking about a burning in your soul where you just want to do more for God and you can't get enough of His presence. I don't know about you, but if you have a real fire burning inside of you, no one ever has to ask you to worship. It just comes automatically. If you got a real fire burning inside of you, then you have a prayer life because you cannot wait to get back in His presence. If you got a real fire of God burning inside of you, you have fallen in love with the Word of God, and it is like honey dripping every time you hear it. I mean, it is like music to your ears. If you really have a fire burning inside of you, then you've danced all by yourself before. You didn't need a choir. You didn't need a praise team. You could have been in the living room or standing outside of your car or walking in a field, and you just had yourself a blessing right there in the presence of God. See, Moses was given this powerful command by the Lord. And his command was, when you get a fire on the altar, never let it go out. Never let the fire go out. It needs to burn 24 hours a day. It needs to burn continuously and never let it go out. Here's the thing you have to understand about the fire of God. It cannot be... See, I'm beyond wanting a visitation from the Lord. I'm wanting a habitation from the Lord. I don't want God to drop in every now and then, and let's say I hope the Lord shows up tonight. I want to come into His presence with thanksgiving. I want to come into His courts with praise, knowing that He is sitting on this house and He's already here waiting on us. And when you've got the fire of God burning inside of you, it is something that is perpetual. Can I just tell you this, and I'm being honest, and the Lord will judge me. You know, ministers get judged twice as hard as everybody else. How many of you know that? The Bible teaches that it's, you may want to be a minister or a teacher, but the Bible says that the Lord will judge our words more harshly than anyone else's words because He's using us to bring the truth to God's people. And if we're not truth speakers, then the Lord will judge us more harshly than others whenever He does that. So what I'm telling you is the honest truth. I've been preaching this gospel for more than 40 years now. Now that doesn't make me old, that just makes me wise. So I'm gonna claim that one. It doesn't, you know, but can I tell you this? This is the honest truth. I am more in love with Jesus than I have ever been. When I first got called to ministry, I would go to every revival I could go to. I mean, I got a fire in my bones at 17 years of age, and I just could not wait to get to church. I was a dancer. I was a runner. I was that electric teenager that every church dreads because I knew no rules when it come to God. I mean, I was one of those that when the presence of God would fall, some people would think it was out of order. Some people called me wildfire. And you know what? I'm not sure what it all was, but I'll tell you this. When God got a hold of me, He didn't let me go. And can I tell you, 40 years later, He still hasn't let me go. It has never left me. I'm still as passionate. I'm still as in love with Jesus. I love the Word of God now more than I ever have in my life. I love to pray. I love to worship. You don't have to beg me to worship. I don't need a cheerleader to worship. I don't don't even need a song leader to worship. If I just think of his goodness and all he's done for me, I can shout on aisle 9 at Walmart just as easy as I can here at OCI in the altar, because God has been too good to me. No, the zeal of the Lord has never gone out. The fire of God is still there. And you know what? All you got to do is hang out with me for a little bit. You'll know I'm telling you the truth. If you know me at all, you know that there is a passion that runs through me for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God that never dies out. It's not died out. People think I'm getting too tired or getting too old or whatever they think I'm getting. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of years left in this gospel preacher, and there's a lot of mountains to climb, a lot of giants to kill. I'm ready to cut Goliath's head off one more time in the kingdom of God. I love the work of the Lord. I love the kingdom of God. I love the worship of the Lord. I'm not tired of it. I'm not weary with it. I'm not sick of it. I'm not tired of God's people or God's presence. I want more and more and more of God's divine presence. It hasn't faded at all. I love the ministry. Can any of you ever remember a moment in your life where one sermon changed your life for the rest of your life? I mean, you heard one sermon that you can still recall the words of that sermon. Raise your hand if you've ever heard one sermon that literally changed your life for the rest of your life. That's what I'm talking about. A spark, a fire that ignites inside of you that never goes out. I don't know how many of you in this room are called to preach, but all of you are called to something. All of you are called. If you've not been called to preach, you've been called to pray, or you've been called to worship, or you've been called to evangelize, or you've been called to, you know, some people's gift is giving. Other people's gift is telling. Other people's gift is singing. But can you remember when the Lord put the burden of the kingdom inside of you? Can you remember when God laid his mantle upon you and anointed you, whether it was saying yes to the mission field or yes to Pakistan, or yes to evangelism, or yes to being a steward of God's resources? Can you remember when the Spirit of the Lord came upon you and your life was changed in a moment's time, and you felt the zeal of God burning inside of you? That's what I'm talking about tonight, when the zeal of the Lord of hosts comes into your presence.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Here's the thing about the manifest presence of God. God was never obligated. God was never obligated to manifest his presence. God could have stayed hidden. God could have stayed behind. We could have reached out for our entire life trying to know him, trying to feel him, trying to touch him. How many of you know that you could have spent your whole life on a journey toward a God you never could reach? There's people in religion just like that around the world, searching for someone they cannot touch, someone they cannot feel. But we do not serve a God like that. We serve a God who said, I don't have to reveal myself to you, but I've chosen to reveal myself to you. I want to manifest my presence. And you know, there's a lot of ways that the Lord manifests his presence, but God wanted us to know him so much so that he describes himself a certain way to us. Now, there's lots of places that talk about God, but there's 4 particular places, more than any other place, where God talks about himself. Now listen to this. The first thing he says in these four common places, I put them on the screen for you guys. The first thing he says is, God is a spirit. If you guys would put that up there for us, there you go. God is a spirit. God could have told you anything else, but he wanted you to know that he is a spirit. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. The next thing God says is that God is love. God is love. He said that about himself. Yes, we say that about him, but God said that about himself. The next thing he said is that God is light. And I love to preach on that. I love to preach on the glory of God, which is the light of God and the way he manifests himself. And then the next thing he said is that God is a consuming fire. Now think about this. Out of all the descriptions God could have given us, God said he is a spirit. Now why did he tell us that he was a spirit? Because this word, this New Testament word spirit, means to breathe. I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but one of the ways that you can experience the manifest presence of God is through a wind that sometimes just gently blows the room. Is there anybody ever experienced that before? I know I have multiple times. Where you are in a worship service, you are minding your own business, you're just worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden it is like a wisp comes right by you, where you can literally feel God breathing on you and a wind of God blowing beside of you. Let me tell you, God is not just telling you he's a spirit that you so that you wonder what he looks like. No, he is manifesting himself as a breath. He's manifesting himself as a spirit or a breeze. Have you ever felt the gentle breeze of God just blow over you? It is like, that's what the Bible says when it says there are times of refreshing that come in the presence of the Lord. Now, maybe you didn't know about that. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard anybody say that sometimes God just wants to blow on you. Sometimes God just wants to breathe on you. Sometimes God just wants you to feel the wind of his presence. And if you've never experienced that, you need to start praying, Holy Spirit, let me feel the wind of God. It is a very real thing. It is more than the sound of a rushing mighty wind like that one that fell on the day of Pentecost. It is more than a sound. It is a real wind, a real refreshing, a real blessing where the Lord says, I just want to come by and refresh you with my wind. You know, Perry tickles me sometimes because Perry will sometimes be preaching and he'll say, I felt like something just flew by me. Have you ever heard him say that? You know what he's telling you? He's telling you he just felt the brush of the wind of God. Have you ever sang that song before that says, I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on its face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. It's a song about the presence of God, but it describes the breath of God as the brush of an angel's wing. Well, I think whoever wrote that, Lanny Wolfe, I think, wrote that song. And I think whenever he was writing that, he was expressing the same thing I'm telling you now, that sometimes when God wants to manifest himself to you, he will do that through a brush of the angel's wing or a wind of God that will gently blow. I'm not talking about blowing your hair back and messing up your do. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a gentle breeze of the Holy Spirit that comes by and refreshes you.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.